Teaching Our Children the Plan of Salvation by Robert England Lee. Parents can present Heavenly Father's great plan of happiness in simple yet powerful ways. Not long ago, I drove several young men and their leaders to the beginning of a great trail. They were headed for a 50-mile hike. As we neared the drop-off point, leaders began reminding the youth of details about their journey. Each young man was studying the map and seemed sobered by the dramatic changes in elevation along the trail. One of the leaders talked about his firsthand knowledge of the adventure and the dangers that lay ahead. He assured the boys that the plan for the trip had been carefully prepared and that no matter what they would face, fatigue, pain, rodents, rain, and so forth, they would enjoy the experience. One of the boys was my son. I had a father's concern, but I was grateful that there were faithful leaders, loyal friends, and above all, a plan. It had been taught to the boys and reviewed before the trip began. It would be reviewed and followed along the way. Understanding the overall plan, seeing how each leg of the journey helped the group reach its goal, and having trustworthy, wise, and experienced guides, inspired my confidence that the hike would be successfully completed. As I consider the confidence those boys had, I also consider the confusion and frustration faced by many who are journeying through life without a secure knowledge of the plan of life. They struggle without a sense of eternal purpose. Prophets of God have always sought to explain the purpose of life by teaching the plan of salvation, also known as the Great Plan of Happiness. Alma chapter 42, verse 8. Through inspiration, parents can understand and teach this roadmap of eternity. They can use it to guide their paths and their children's paths through mortality. The plan. The following is a basic outline of the plan. We worship God as the Almighty Ruler of heaven and earth. He is our Father in heaven. We live with Him as spirits before we were born. We are His children and belong to His eternal family. See Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. He loves us and wants us to achieve true eternal happiness. See Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. To enable us to become like Him, our Father in heaven prepared a plan that allows us to come to earth and receive a physical body. This life is a time of testing to see if we will keep His commandments. Abraham chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Having no memory of our premortal life, we must act by faith. See 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. He gives us commandments, ordinances, and covenants to point the way we should go to fulfill our eternal potential. See Moses chapter 5, verses 58 through 59. We will be held accountable for our decisions and actions. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 78. We experience difficulties, trials, and temptations. By overcoming them through faith in His beloved Son, we develop many of the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. See Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. The sins we commit make us unworthy to dwell in the presence of God. See 1 Nephi chapter 15, verse 34. But because He loves His children, our Heavenly Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. Jesus fulfilled the will of the Father and voluntarily suffered and gave His life to pay for our sins. Through His resurrection, He overcame physical death so that we can again obtain a physical body after our death. His suffering, death, and resurrection are called the Atonement. See the LDS Bible Dictionary, Atonement, page 617. To enjoy here in mortality and hereafter all the blessings that come from Christ's sacrifice, we are to accept Him and live according to His example and teachings. See the third article of faith. When we die, our spirit leaves our physical body, but the Spirit is still alive and goes to the spirit world. See Alma chapter 40, verses 11 through 13. There we await the resurrection and judgment. In the spirit world, the gospel is taught to all who died without hearing or accepting Jesus Christ and His gospel. See Doctrine and Covenant, section 138, verses 32 through 34. When we are resurrected, our physical bodies and spirits are reunited, never to be separated again. See Alma chapter 11, verses 43 and verse 45. The degree of glory we experience depends on our faithfulness to Heavenly Father's teachings. If we have been faithful and worthy, we will be with our Father in celestial glory. Those who qualify to be exalted in the highest degree of this glory receive a fullness of joy. See Doctrine and Covenant, section 132, verses 19 through 20. There are lesser degrees of glory for those who have been less valiant in obeying His teachings. See section 76 of the Doctrine and Covenants, verses 96 through 98. Presenting an overview of the plan. Most of us have been taught the doctrines of the plan of salvation, yet we appreciate help in putting the various doctrines into a meaningful overview as we try to explain the plan to others. Elder Henry B. Irene of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has suggested, from time to time, I would give an overview of the plan of salvation. I would try to do it a little different each time. You could use different scriptures. You could emphasize different things, but always remembering that the point of it is more than intellectual. It's not just to know who God the Father is and who Jesus Christ is and who the Holy Ghost is. It's to feel that reality and that those individuals, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, are real, that they know us and they love us and they are attentive to us. Teaching Missionaries, the Plan of Salvation, Mission President Seminar, June 22, 2000. What are some helpful ways to present an overview of the plan to our children? Note, in this issue, there are charts and activities and scripture discussion ideas with which this may be done, and you will probably need assistance with that. End of note. 1. Putting the pieces together. President Boyd K. Packer, acting president of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, has explained, individual doctrines of the gospel are not fully explained in one place in the scriptures, nor presented in order or sequence. They must be assembled from pieces here and there. They are sometimes found in large segments, but mostly they are in small bits scattered through the chapters and verses. The Great Plan of Happiness, 1993 Church Educational System CES Symposium, page 1. The challenge of identifying and assembling doctrines of the plan of salvation may be resolved by providing an overview or framework on which a person may organize the various doctrines, such as the pieces of a puzzle. Each piece could be labeled with a different element of the plan of salvation. Some of the pieces could represent parts of the plan that God has freely and unconditionally provided for us. These doctrines identify what we cannot do for ourselves and without which salvation would be impossible. You could assemble these pieces first. Other pieces could represent parts of the plan that we must choose to accept in order to take full advantage of God's precious gifts. You could assemble these pieces last. Once the puzzle has been put together, a short scripture reference, such as the ones on the puzzle pieces, may be read and discussed as an extension of the activity. Note, on page 35, there are pieces of puzzles with scripture references. Spiritual creation, Moses chapter 3, verse 5. Repentance, Moses chapter 6, verse 57. Baptism by water, 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 23. The sacrament, 3 Nephi chapter 18, verses 1 through 12. Confirmation, Doctrine and Covenant, section 20, verse 41. Birth, Abraham, chapter 5, verse 7. Receive the Holy Ghost, 3 Nephi, chapter 27, verse 20. Ordination to the Melchizedek priesthood for men, Doctrine and Covenant, section 107, verses 8 and verses 18 through 19. Temple covenants and ordinances, Doctrine and Covenant, section 124, verses 39 through 41. Obedience to the commandments, Doctrine and Covenant, section 14, verses 6 through 7, and Abraham chapter 3, verse 25. Faith in Jesus Christ, Moroni chapter 7, verses 38 through 39. Physical creation, Moses chapter 2, verses 1 through 28. Atonement of Jesus Christ, Alma chapter 34, verses 9 through 10. The fall, 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 17 through 25. Agency, Helaman chapter 14, verses 30 through 31. Opposition, 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 11. Opportunity to hear the gospel, Doctrine and Covenants section 29, verse 42, and section 138, verses 32 through 35. Experience, Doctrine and Covenants section 122, verse 7, and Moses chapter 6, verse 55. Death, 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. Resurrection of mankind, Mosiah chapter 16, verses 7 through 8. Final judgment, Alma chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. Degrees of glory, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 40 through 42. End of the puzzle pieces. The importance of each piece to the overall plan could be discussed by asking, what would happen if any piece of the plan were missing? When we understand even a simple overview such as this puzzle, we may approach the journey of life with greater confidence. People retain much more, says President Packer, when they know how all the pieces fit together, and the light of learning shines more brightly. The Great Plan of Happiness, page 2. 2. Lines and Circles. A series of three horizontally drawn circles representing premortal earth and spirit world life, with four vertically drawn circles to the right representing postmortal degrees of glory, is often used to present an overview of the plan of salvation. Lines between the circles representing birth, death, and judgment and resurrection may also be drawn. Each circle and line is labeled with the name of a part of the plan. Note, you may need some assistance with this, and there is a sample on page 36 of the overview of the plan of salvation. End of note. Each circle and line is labeled with the name of a part of a plan. Lines between the circles representing birth, death, and judgment and resurrection may also be drawn. It may be helpful when teaching with this drawing to talk about the locations, the circles and transitions, the lines we all experience. Causes and reasons for each transition can also be discussed. For example, instead of simply observing after we die, we will be resurrected, a parent could say, because of the fall, everyone dies. After death, because of Christ, we will all be resurrected. 3. The Bridge. On page 37, there is an illustration of the bridge. This drawing also illustrates the relationship between what God has done for us as well as what we must do to fulfill the plan of salvation. Here the plan may be compared to a bridge with three pillars that spans a wide gulf. The bridge provides a path on which we may walk to gain eternal life. The drawing is an illustration of the truth taught by the prophet Nephi. We know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do, 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 23. The illustration on page 37 is laid out in the following manner. On the top of the chart is the bridge. And on the top it says faith, repentance, baptism, gift of the Holy Ghost, and then eternal life. And of course, eternal life is at the end of the bridge. Now the bridge is supported by three pillars, and it says that all mankind must cross this bridge. The first pillar is the creation. The second is the fall, and the third is the atonement of Jesus Christ. 4. Relating scripture discussions to overviews of the plan. Sometimes it can be difficult to see the relationship between doctrines on the pages of scripture and the plan of salvation. Scriptural passages can become more relevant when the ideas in them are placed into the context of a model of the plan of salvation, and the learner is invited to ponder how that doctrine fits into the plan. Doing so may be the difference between reading the Scriptures and searching them. For example, after studying in Moroni chapter 2 about conferring the gift of the Holy Ghost, a parent could ask, "On what part of the bridge would you put this chapter? And why would you put it there?" Discussing answers to these questions can help clarify how the words we read in the Scriptures relate to the actions of our daily lives. 5. Heavenly Father's Presence. One of the strengths of the representation on page 38 is the inclusion of the imagery of the straight and narrow path. See 2 Nephi chapter 31, verses 17 through 20. With assistance, a person could help note that the path that leads from Heavenly Father's presence to spiritual death is downward, but the direction of life's path continues forward. There is a gate across the path that leads to the house of the Lord. This suggests that there is more to returning to the presence of God than simply going through the gate. We must follow along the path if we are to progress and return to His presence. And a very brief description of the chart on page 38 shows on the top Heavenly Father's presence. And on the left, it says, "We lived with Him," Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 29, that being the preexistence. And then an arrow pointing down to the veil. And below the veil, it shows us coming to the earth, and it says, "Our fallen condition," 1 Nephi chapter 10, verse 6. And then there's a road leading to a gate. And leading up to that gate is faith in Christ and repentance. The gate is labeled baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Underneath the road and the gate shows the world. Beyond the gate, following the road to the temple, to the house of the Lord, is the word priesthood. And with the temple, it says Doctrine and Covenants, section 97, verses 15 through 16. Then an arrow pointing up once again to Heavenly Father's presence. We live with Him again, are like Him, and receive all He has. Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verse 62, section 132, verse 20, and section 84, verses 37 through 38. End of the chart on page 38, Heavenly Father's Presence. 6. Room to Room. You can use your home or another building to take those you teach on a journey through the plan. One room could be designated as the pre-mortal world. Another room could represent earth life. A third room could represent the spirit world. And the last room could represent the celestial kingdom, which might be where treats are located at the lesson's end. You could talk about how we go through the doors of birth, death, and resurrection. Death could be explained as part of the plan, going from one room to the next. It might be useful to point out before anyone moves from room to room that someone had a plan to build the house we are all in. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are the architects and builders of the plan of salvation. See also Christine Wright, Walking Through the Plan of Salvation, Ensign, August 1999, page 72. Creating your own overviews. After studying these or other models of the plan of salvation, you'll be able to discuss the strengths of each overview. One model might emphasize the importance of ordinances, while another might focus more on major transitional experiences, such as birth or death. Some models focus more deeply on the Savior's atonement. Wise parents might invite family members to create their own models or charts based on sound doctrines found in the Scriptures and the words of the prophets. The Trail. I picked up my vanload of boys a week later. They were dirty and tired, and some had scrapes and bumps, but without exception, they were glad they had the experience. They had experienced bruises, rodents, rain, almost perpetually, and many other things. The valleys and hills that present an incline so steep they appeared impossible to ascend. Yet they spoke of their experience with enthusiasm and wonder. They had endured to the end and reveled in the joy of accomplishing something that seemed beyond the limits of their natural abilities. They had been well prepared and had followed their plan. Loving leaders had guided them along the way. Teaching, understanding, and following the great plan of happiness is a key to journeying safely through mortality. The plan is worthy of representation over and over again, explains President Packer. Then the purpose of life, the reality of the Redeemer, and the reason for commandments will stay with those you teach. Their gospel study, their life experiences will add to an ever-growing witness of the Christ, of the atonement, of the restoration of the gospel. The Great Plan of Happiness, page 3. Gospel topics: plan of salvation, teaching, happiness. Note: Robert England is a member of the Cary Second Ward, Raleigh, North Carolina stake. For more on this topic, see M. Russell Ballard, Answers to Life Questions, Ensign, May 1995, pages 22 through 24. Dallin H. Oakes, The Great Plan of Happiness, Ensign, November 1993, pages 72 through 75. Visit www.lds.org or see church magazines on CD. End of note. Sidebar: The Marvelous Plan. The following are some teachings by current members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles on the plan of salvation. About the plan: one of the great blessings flowing from amplifying Latter-day Revelations is the crucial doctrinal framework known as the Marvelous Plan of Salvation, the Plan of Happiness, or the Plan of Mercy. Neil A. Maxwell, Ensign, May 1984, page 21. You elected to have this earth experience as part of His plan for you. The prophets call it the plan of mercy, the eternal plan of deliverance, the plan of salvation, and yes, the great plan of happiness. You were taught this plan before you came to earth, and there rejoiced in the privilege of participating in it. Richard G. Scott, Ensign, November 1996, page 73. You can think of the plan of salvation as a set of eyes that allow you to see what the natural eyes does not see. Henry B. Eyring, Mission President Seminar, June 2000, page 2. Studying and teaching the plan. Youth must be taught to expand their minds and to think in spiritual terms. They must know that there was no beginning and that there will be no end. Then they will begin to understand the plan of redemption. Boyd K. Packer, 1993 CES Symposium, page 6. Truly, of all the errors that mortals could make, God's plan of salvation is the wrong thing to be wrong about. No error could be more enormous or more everlasting in its consequences. No wonder this church and its people go to such great lengths and expense to share the fullness of the gospel concerning this plan. No wonder the Lord wants this plan taught plainly and repetitively. And why not? It is God's plan, not ours. Neil A. Maxwell, Ensign, May 1984, page 22. We must give adequate attention to the doctrines of happiness, real happiness, infinite and eternal. They should be the objective of everything we teach in the church and of everything we do. M. Russell Ballard, Ensign, May 1995, page 24. Learn the doctrinal foundation of the great plan of happiness by studying the Scriptures, pondering their content, and praying to understand them. Carefully study and use the proclamation of the First Presidency and the 12 on the family. Richard G. Scott, Ensign, November 1996, page 75. Blessings from understanding and following the plan. Until you have a broad perspective of the eternal nature of this great drama or plan, you won't make much sense out of the inequities in life. Boyd K. Packer, CES Fireside, May 7, 1995, page 3. So much more than a matter of abstract theology, this great plan can focus daily life. Its truths are crucial to how we see ourselves and others, life, the Lord, and even the universe, or how we view a baby, or death, or the praise and honors of the world. This plan constitutes the motherlode of meaning and can cradle us conceptually amid any concern. Neil A. Maxwell, Ensign, May 1984, page 22. When we understand the plan of salvation, we also understand the purpose and effects of the commandments God has given His children. Dallin H. Oakes, Ensign, November 1993, page 73. The plan of happiness is available to all of His children. If the world would embrace and live it, peace, joy, and plenty would abound on the earth. Much of the suffering we know today would be eliminated if people throughout the world would understand and live the gospel. M. Russell Ballard, Ensign, May 1995, page 23. Some of us, at one time or another, let the pressures of life or the false teachings of men cloud our vision. But when we see with clarity, the difference between the plan of God and that of Satan is unmistakable. Richard G. Scott, Ensign, November 1981, page 11. The more closely you personally adhere to this plan for you on earth, the greater will be your happiness, fulfillment, and progress. The more qualified you will be to receive the rewards He has promised for obedience. Richard G. Scott, Ensign, November 1996, page 75. End of sidebar. Let's talk about it. Most Ensign articles can be used for family home evening discussions. The following questions are for that purpose or for personal reflection. 1. If you have used several overviews to help teach the plan of salvation, ask family members which parts of the presentation they would like to better understand. 2. Ask your family members which statements from our church leaders on the plan of salvation impress them the most and why. 3. Ask family members what hard things about life are better understood and endured, or what decisions can be made more wisely when we know and trust in the plan of salvation. End of the article, Teaching Our Children the Plan of Salvation, by Robert England Lee.